This is the Brandon T. Adams Audio Experience. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Brandon T. Adams Audio Experience. I'm Brandon C. Adams, and this is episode 63. And these are questions that were asked by Leah, my team, the actual producer of this podcast show. She had a set of questions that she asked me around video content, recording video content. We talked about the three different types of content creation. What are the first steps to putting on an event? We talk about putting on different events and what we do with Rise and Record. And also best ways to approach a message to someone who wants to work with you in 2023. So a lot of good stuff here. Let's jump right into it.
So first question for Brandon, how to create a setup to record video content. So what tools do you need? What should your backdrop be? If you want to start recording video, what would you recommend to someone just beginning?
Yeah. So some people will disagree with me, and I've had people reach out to me and say, oh, you need a better mic. You need this, you need the lighting and all that. And as I'm speaking here, I got this ring light here, like I use and stuff like that. But here's the deal. I'm all about content and getting it out there versus trying to make it just right. And starting out, here's what happens. Somebody the other day reach out, they spent $5,000 on video equipment, but they have no idea how to even run the equipment. So what's that even do for you? And then you film with a professional camera, you got to transfer it, and then they get overwhelmed and they just don't do anything. So I would say this, it'd be awesome if you have maybe a backdrop or lighting or whatnot. But a lot of the stuff I do, as you know, Leah, is I'm recording with my phone out and about, walking here in a corner, talking. It's the message in the video. And then that's what I post. So the answer is you can just record with your phone. You don't need a professional backdrop. You don't need any of that stuff. You can eventually go to that, at least record it and post it and get it out there. Then eventually, yes, you can have a custom background. You can have ring lights on you. These lights are like $20. Grab a couple ring lights. Grab one of them. Have one stationary background where you knock out a bunch of videos at once. And eventually you can get to studios and all that. But starting out, just start creating content and post it. Don't let it sit in your camera roll.
Perfect. What are the three types of content that you can create?
Three types of content. There's content, and maybe depending on what direction you're asking here, it could be the content that is like in real time. So it's content that's just happening, experiential. It's, hey, here's where I'm at. Here's what I'm doing. Boom. It's that content. It's content around educational. So it's like educational content where it's, I'm speaking on a certain topic as an area of expert. So like I'm a video expert, I'm an investor, I'm sharing tips around what to look for, business growth, I'm providing education. And then there's a side of the content that's your personal side, just bringing people into your life kind of in the real time. And then there's content that is content repurposed from a keynote I gave, from a podcast I did, from something in the past. What other directions, Leah? Because I know there's other ways we can go with this. What other thoughts did you have with that?
I was asking you mainly because it's something that you brought up on Ben McDougall's podcast. Yes. I wanted to see what you could say about that. But yeah, that sounded good to me.
And then what I add to is professional content. So like there is a time and place for very high-end professional content for experts come in, professional videographers, cinematographers, and they film and it takes time to edit this content together. And it's an evergreen piece of content that you can use forever in your email signature, online, and ads. And there's a time and place in that. And that doesn't happen right away. I have pieces of content like that that it took me years and a lot of money to get to, but that is something to work towards.
Okay. How do you personally organize your content to be able to repurpose it from past years? Because you have over 10 years of footage, and even when you document your day-to-day life, how do you keep it all organized so that you know where it is when you do want to repurpose it?
So what I'm doing, as you know, as I'm traveling, like if I'm getting different clips to we turn into a reel, I'm like hearting it, favoring it, and it's in one area. So like that's one thing, and I'll send it all at once. The other side is I will create once I get, like let's say we have it through Slack, a video gets in, it's edited, I download it to my phone, and I put it in different folders. It could say Rise and Record promotional content. It could say motivational content. It could say content in Iowa, where I'm from, could say family content. So I organize it through different folders on my phone so then I can go back. But also how my mind works is sometimes what I do is I know the month and year that it happened. So I will search in my library the year and month it happened. And then based on that time frame, I will find it. So really the easiest way is to organize it in custom folders in your albums, in your phone.
Perfect. And then can you explain the importance of, let's say someone spoke on a stage or they were speaking to a large group of people, the importance of getting that content so then you can repurpose it or different ways to utilize longer format content?
It's so important because when you are talking on stage, sometimes some magical things happen that you say that could be so powerful and evergreen that could resonate with millions of people. And if that's posted and in the right way, it could reach a lot of people. You look at all these different influencers do it. So it's important to record that content and then repurpose it, because the more people that see it beyond the people in that room, the more likely that's going to turn into some kind of opportunity for you, be inspired, like, comment, whatever. So be sure to record everything you do. Ideally, when you speak at an event, you have a professional videographer filming it and you can get it from them. But if not, set up a tripod and just record it with your phone and grab it that way. Like, at the end of the day, make sure you get it. And then long form content, as we do, we will have it it's recorded. We have it go stream live through like StreamYard to Facebook, to LinkedIn, to YouTube, or even repurposing into a podcast, just like what we do with the Brennan T. Adams Audio Experience. It's repurposing content that we always had. You know, the one thing I looked at is Kevin, who started in the infomercial industry, one of my business partners. I never forgot when he told me for the Ginzu knife, he discovered the guy that created the Ginzu knife. And he said, how about we take this versus you going to fairs around the country and doing the same pitch? Why don't we film it in a kitchen, take that video and stream it in different platforms? They did that. And what they did is they streamed it in different languages. They dubbed it to all kinds of languages, different platforms, different networks. And it did over $500 million in sales. And so when I think about that story, I think about how can I take content that I have right now, very powerful content, and how can I get it distributed to the most eyeballs possible? Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, audio versions through a podcast, through ads, taking it and put it to multiple places to reach more people, have more impact and more opportunity.
Okay. What would you say, because we have Rise and Record coming up in October, what would you say the first steps are to putting on an event? If you're just starting out, you think that you have a concept and you want to create your own event.
Yeah. The first steps I would say is it doesn't have to be big. I remember the first time I did an event for Young Entrepreneur Convention. I remember saying this, that there's going to be 10,000 people there. And I remember going to literally 2 months later, I went to a Tony Robbins Unleash the Power Within event at the LA like center in Los Angeles. And there was 10,000 people there. I'm like, whoa, that's a lot of people. And I shot for the stars, landed on the moon. I mean, I got 500 people in my first event. But that was so much work, so much time, so much effort, money. And you don't need to do that right away. What I tell people is start with a meetup. Like I do this when I go to a different city, you know, I'll go to a different city. We'll create a flyer. I'll post it and say, hey, meet up at this location, drinks on your own. We'll connect. We'll meet up in this area. Cost me nothing. We just meet up. So we're all just a bunch of people meet in one area. There might be 5, 10 of us. It might be 20 of us. Cost me nothing but my own drinks. If I want to buy one round, I can. You connect, you network, you find ways to collaborate, you talk on a certain topic. It's just a networking thing. And it's a great way to start getting connected and getting people to know you and what you do. So that's like an easy way to start out. The next step could be maybe I'm doing in a couple hours here. I'm going to a dinner. I'm the guest. There's about 6 of us. These people are going to ask me questions over dinner. And we're just going to collaborate. We're going to mastermind. Or you could do a half a day event where you find a local venue, you have AV set up, you have a couple speakers, have some drinks, network, simple as that. Start small, and then you can work your way up to a bigger event, but the smaller events will help feed into your bigger event. So that's why I'd say starting out, don't overcomplicate it.
That's good. How can we take full advantage of masterminds or other like-minded groups of people, larger groups of people?
Take advantage by asking the right questions, coming from a place of value, when you join a mastermind, know that if you can bring more value to the group, more people are going to come to you for opportunity, refer people to you. Don't just come in, hey, what can I get out of this? So go into the mastermind, connect with everyone, build a relationship, learn, but be a person of value. And then that will lead to opportunity. And I'm always about proximity, leverage it. If you're investing in a mastermind, they're big investments for the ones we do. And make sure you utilize it. Utilize the knowledge, the calls, the meetups, the people, and build a real bond between everybody. Because what happens is, as you've seen, Leah, when we go to these meetups, we have mastermind calls, we all become family and we all would do anything for each other. And ultimately, it's the power of the numbers. All of us can exponentially reach about anybody, which means we get more referrals, more business, everything else. So enjoy it, have fun, be a person of value.
Okay. And then you're also currently doing advisory for clients. So what are the benefits to having a mentor or an advisor or a coach?
If you're really serious about being the best at what you do, find people that's already achieved it, or find people that have the relationships, connections, and guidance on how to get there. And I mean, that's what we do with advisory. It's really, we help people. I mean, I'll give you an example. Obviously, Andrea, one of our advisory clients, shout out to Andrea, crushing it. She's in the process of writing a book. And so we've been giving her guidance and direction, and I want to make sure the book is a huge success. So I reached out to an expert in writing books out of my network and brought her to help with that support. So I opened up my network to bring more value to her, to Andrea. And that's a lot what I do at advisory, is how do we use our knowledge between us and the group and other experts to bring value and open up doors that they couldn't get alone. And so I look at anybody, if you really want to excel, you need a coach, you need a mentor, you need an advisor. I have multiple I go to. I ask advisors in different areas of my life, whether the finances, the even going to you and, hey, what do you think on this? And or whatever it is, you need people to see things you can't see that can give you the little extra edge to help you go further and be able to really make more money. And so that's the power of an advisor, a coach, a mentor, and it pushes you. I mean, you think about anybody getting ready for a fight. Why do you think they have a coach? Because the coach will push them more than they would actually do themselves, and they're held accountable. That's the power of it.
What is the best way to approach a message to someone that you want to work with in 2023?
Best way to approach somebody that you want to work with?
Yeah. Whether it be an Instagram DM, a text, a call, you want to get in with someone, but you don't have a direct link to them. You want to say the right thing so then you can see a potential to work together.
Yeah. Don't ask for a sale. Don't ask for anything. Help them, support them, and still don't ask for anything, and let them eventually say, hey, how can I work with you? I get pitched every single day. It's annoying. And that, hey, we do this, do that, whatever. And the ones that I actually worked with just came from massive value, did things for me, didn't expect anything. And eventually I was so indebted and reciprocity kicked in and I helped them. And any business relationship I've ever got in my career, very influential people, is I came from a place of caring, wanting to help, wanting to support, wanted to help them, hiring them, paying them, buying their books. And eventually what happened is they trusted me, and then we found ways to work together in a partnership. And I wasn't just asking.
I like that. And then if someone were to say, lastly, this is the last question. If someone were to say, Brandon T. Adams, what do you do? What would you tell them?
What do I do? I put it in this way. There's two sides of what I do. And this is how I've been explaining it lately, is I educate people and then I help grow businesses. Education side is I'm a public speaker. I speak to groups. We throw events through Rise and Record. I'm creating content online. We have the podcast show. I'm providing education and knowledge, workshops, and that helps people grow. I love doing that. The other side is I help grow companies through capital, connections, video production, and marketing. And so whether we're raising money for companies, or helping them execute and creating content, helping them through their brand, and really getting to the point where they can scale with a liquidation event or just scale as an individual. And why do these things work so well together? Is they supplement each other. On this side, these people eventually get on this side. And together they supplement. It makes me feel complete. I love what I do. I grow, my brand's building, but I'm also helping more people. And so that's what I do. I accelerate people's businesses and lives through my knowledge, connections, and abilities.